Boston has a reputation as racist. We have talked about it here on the show with sound from SNL segments, examples of statements athletes have made, and reminders of the ugly history of busing in our schools. Journalist and researcher Dart Adams took that reputation head-on in a recent article in Boston Magazine. In it, he doesn't argue we're not racist, but he does argue that we need a more nuanced conversation about race in Greater Boston, a conversation that does a better job actually including Black Bostonians. Are you a Black Bostonian? Do you feel like you are heard in local and national conversations about race and our city? What's the nuance you're looking for? And everyone listening, what will it take for Boston to earn a different reputation on race? 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Dart Adams, journalist, researcher, host of Dart Against Humanity and Boston Legends podcasts, joins us now. Dart, thanks. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me.
So, Dart, you argue in your article that individual racist incidents, they spike in the news, but they don't reflect a much more nuanced conversation that we need to have around racism in Boston and how Boston really compares to other cities in the country, especially one with Black Bostonians. So let me just begin. Is that a fair read of your article?
Yes. Well, the difference being is that other cities and other states, you can't write off the entire non-white population in one fell swoop, like they don't exist, like you can in Boston, due to the fact that we have very little to no representation in media. There are no depictions of our lives in Boston. Shows about Boston do not focus on non-white Bostonians and their experiences. So to people outside of New England, we're a non-existent group outside of New Edition. Like, there are very few people that nationally that you can point to and say they're examples of like prominent non-white Bostonians. And the sad fact is that if you're not from Massachusetts or New England, you can't even rattle off a list of those people. And when you say who they are or tell people where they're from, people stare at you and they're like, oh my God, I had no idea. And that's the main issue.
So there's a lot of threads there I want to pick up on. And for the purposes of this conversation, Dart, I want to say I'm using Boston as shorthand. We're really talking about Greater Boston here.
Yes.
Some of the case you just made comes from some other articles that you've written as well, where you really critique representations of Black Bostonians in film, in television programs, in the media. You know, I also want to note, we just had a nationally watched election with three Black Bostonians running for mayor. Kim Janey's made the Today Show when she became the first Black woman to lead the city of Boston when she became acting mayor. So make a little more of your case that Black Bostonians are missing in the national psyche about Boston.
Well, like, when you think about it, if it wasn't for the BET miniseries about New Edition, we would have had nothing about any depictions or showing of Black life in Boston. Films are few and far in between that give the non-white experience in Boston, especially the Black or Latino experience in Boston. If I was to list off names of prominent people from this region who are Black and Latino who are famous, like, again, like I said, people would just stare at you like, oh my God, I had no idea. Whereas if we're talking about a white celebrity from Massachusetts, Boston makes sure to claim them and do everything they can to let everybody know they're from here. You know, so it all goes hand in hand with the national perception of Boston. There was a TV series called Survivor's Remorse about a Black Bostonian family, but the only way for the show to really get people to watch it was to make sure that you take this Black Bostonian family from Dorchester and move them to Atlanta. And anytime they had an opportunity to crack jokes about Boston or deride Boston, they did it. Why? Because they knew that if you're going to try to get a Black audience to watch a show about a Black Bostonian family, you can't have it in Boston, and they certainly can't talk about how much they love and revere their hometown.
And that show was from, what, 10 or 15 years ago, is that correct?
It's more recent, like in the last 5 or 10 years.
Thanks. I appreciate that. I want to pick up on the Boston Magazine article, DART, and I'm going to put the number out for our listeners again, 1-800-423-8255 to join this conversation. In the article, you express some frustration over not being able to have your voice heard as a Black Greater Bostonian when trying to have a nuanced conversation about race and our city. Talk a little bit about that. And you really, you put a target on social media for that.
Well, because the article actually was born from my frustrations, almost arguing. And I can't say that I was having real discourse, because I wasn't, because I was getting talked over, I was getting shut down. Arguing with people on Twitter after the incident happened with Kyrie Irving, and he made a statement which I didn't have an issue with.
My former Boston Celtic. So let's just for our listeners, we're teaching sports here on Radio Boston, but we don't have tons of sports fans. So Kyrie Irving, former Boston Celtic, remind people.
Yeah, so Kyrie Irving, former Boston Celtic, left under auspicious circumstances and became a free agent and was with the Brooklyn Nets, came back, made statements about racism in Boston in terms of the fans when they come back. And his teammates were all like, yeah, we know what happens. We know what happens in Boston. However, the conversation online just ran the gamut and just went all the way left and went to the extreme. And then there's this circle of Twitter where people just like to say the most ridiculous thing and just get their jokes off. And I was trying to bring it back to an actual conversation, because what happens is in these instances, people like to throw darts and they like to, just fire everything. And the problem is that we get hit with the friendly fire as if we don't exist and we don't live here. And that was the issue I was having. So born out of frustration, editors at Boston Magazine were like, so we saw what's happening with you online and we were wondering if you'd be willing to write about that. And I was like, absolutely.
So they saw the experience that you were having and came to you and gave you an invite. Okay, so I want to use this to pick up on a thread of a recent incident. In fact, I don't mean to use the word incident, a recent story. Connors Farm in Danvers earlier this month. So Monika Bowman and Jeff Myers, who are Black, were accused of stealing apples while on an apple picking trip with their 1-year-old. Ultimately, the farm searched her purse, the Danvers police were called, and the couple went public saying they were accused and treated poorly because they were Black. They are a Black couple from Greater Boston. They are telling their own story here. But it was also one of those stories that circulated widely and did get that, see, Boston is a racist city response. So how does that example fit into what you are calling for in a more nuanced conversation about how Boston compares to other cities and the lived experience of Black families here?
In that instance, it's even crazier, because that happened in Danvers, a region of Massachusetts that's 97% to 98% white, and the neighboring town Salem is 80% to 82% white. So whereas I have some sense of protection in Boston or the greater Boston area, when you get out that far in Massachusetts, it's non-existent. So
you're saying that a Black Bostonian, the further they go from, I'm mindful that we've got listeners from all over the region, DART.
I'm aware we have listeners from all over the region, but the facts are the facts.
Yeah.
That if you talk to any Black or Latino person who goes out to certain parts of Massachusetts where they know we're already supposedly a minority, but we are far and few in between out there, we already have an idea of how we're going to be viewed or treated.
So what's the conversation?
Not to say that they should have expected that, but I'm not surprised.
So what's the conversation? Yeah. So what is the nuanced conversation you want us to be having with that example? For example, I will read a bit of a quote that Robert Connors, the farm owner, told the Boston Globe. In part, he said, quote, "We don't tolerate racism. We are about family fun and treating everybody equal. I'm not prejudiced. We don't want to ruin our name over an incident," end of quote. And I'll also note that incident takes down to a single experience, what you're talking about, which is a collective lived experience of structural racism that, you know, supersedes any one encounter. So I want to be mindful of that, too. What's the nuance you want?
It permeates every aspect of your life. It's inescapable. And the issue is, being a black Bostonian, we have to deal with different things, different hurdles that other people in other regions might not have to. And we have to be mindful of that. You have to be mindful of the fact that in Massachusetts and New England, we all know Donna Summers from here. You know, we all know her name before she changed it to Donna Summer, LaDonna Gaines, you know. But outside of Boston, there was a reason why I started doing the Boston Legends, hashtag Boston Legend, because through doing that, I was educating people on who was actually from Boston and Massachusetts. They had no clue. They didn't know where Tavares was from. You know, they didn't know where Donna Summer was from. They didn't know the histories about, you know, music from here that isn't rock. So it's the unfortunate issues that our voices are always being like suppressed, or we never get to tell our story. So whenever it's time to tell the story, everybody talks over us.
That's ironic. I just talked over you. I didn't mean to, Dart. Go ahead and finish your thought.
It's like we never get to say anything and be heard. So that's usually the issue.
There's a caller I want to bring into this, Dart. Sure. We have a caller on the line, Bijan from Washington, D.C. Bijan, go ahead.
Hi, I'm a Roxbury native, and thanks for having me on to weigh in.
Please.
I think the national misperception about Greater Boston, which in part is derived from series such as Boston Public and Ally McBeal, and films such as Mystic River and The Departed and Gone Baby Gone in the Town, has really framed this national dialogue about Boston in conjunction with the 1975 infamous busing incidents. That one, it's more racist than all the other major cities, because I guess people say, well, these are the receipts and the 75 busing incident and the picture of the gentleman being stabbed with the American flag. And two, when it's depicted in national media, whether in television or film or a camera span of the selfish audience, there doesn't seem to be any black people there. And it's just sort of an odd narrative, given, you know, to Dart's point, the fact that the two key horn players in Duke Ellington's horn section, Harry Carney and Johnny Hodges, both grew up in Roxbury about two houses apart. Donna Summer is the queen of disco. New Edition is the king of pop boy bands, at least in the post-Jackson 5 era. And I'll give you a more granular example of just inclusion in the city. Pre the forced busing, which was unwise just in its conception, there was a semi-pro basketball team in the late 1950s through the 1960s and early 70s called the Boston Bruins, or the Boston Colored Bruins. Yes. Ray Flynn, who's from Southie, played on that team.
So I don't know who...
Ray Flynn was the mayor.
He's the actual mayor, Ray Flynn? I kept thinking, oh, there was a mayor named Ray Flynn, too. You mean, Bijan, that Ray Flynn played on that team?
Ray Flynn played on a black semi-pro basketball team in Roxbury. He's from Southie. And other white players also played on that team without incident. I'll give you another sort of granular example to sort of counteract.
So, Bijan, I appreciate Kyrie, that. And I appreciate you offering another counterexample, but I do want to get Dart's voice back in here. I'm going to ask you to stay in the background on the line. And I do just want to note that, you know, Boston busing, that really began in 1974, just to put that date out there, although your points are still valid, Bijan, of course. So, Dart, I want to give you a chance to respond to Bijan now.
No, everything is actually saying. This man is Bijan Bain, by the way. He's written so many articles about Boston and its history. I actually interviewed him for the Boston Legends podcast because he's a wealth of knowledge. But he's absolutely right in all those cases. There's so many pieces of information that are not known by the nation, you know, or the wider groups of people. And that makes it so that it's always a one-sided discussion, because all we know, all they see is one aspect of Boston. They never get a wider scope. They never get more of a feel of what Boston has to offer. It's always one thing. So this is what we're left with.
Let me bring Bijan back. And of course, I'm struck by the fact, Dart, that you're talking about a prominent former Bostonian, and you're kind of underscoring the point. You had to tell us that this is Bijan Bain. Bijan, we didn't know your, I didn't know your story here on Radio Boston. So I think that kind of underscores the point. And I'm going to ask the two of you now, in our little bit of remaining time, what do you want us to do better as a greater Boston community? What's a next step that you want to see us take? And Dart, I'll start with you, but Bijan, I'd like your answer as well. Dart, go ahead.
So this is a conversation that I've had a lot with Bijan Bain, also with Howard, who's a prominent writer from
Howard
Dorchester.
Bryant from ESPN,
Howard
who is a commentator here on Radio Boston, yes.
Who writes a lot about race and history. We have a lot of discussions. Basically, the big issue always boils down to representation, equity, and, you know, those two things. Because without those two aspects, we're always going to get one side of the story, and that's going to reflect on the rest of the country, and it's going to pepper how everybody else views Boston. If Boston and Greater Boston and Massachusetts did a better job of showing more experiences or embracing more than just its white population, or actually doing the work instead of taking credit for all the work that the non-white Bostonians have done, because they actually would like to see progress happen for a change, then we'd probably get somewhere.
Bijan, how about you? What would you like to see Greater Boston do now?
Well, in terms of just signage, branding, tourism, literature, and just the brand, I think it should toot its own horn more about the Jan Metzelegers, the Phyllis Wheatleys, the Crispus Attucks, the fact that Dr. King and Malcolm X both started their ministries in Greater Boston, and also just to use Dart's verb, embrace, you know, that whole narrative, and not just the narrative of the poor outlying or predominantly Irish neighborhoods that make a sort of a convenient premise for Hollywood films about, you know, the underworld and bank robbery.
Bijan, I'm gonna say thank you again to you for calling in. Dart, in our last minute or so, I'll come back. One of the things that Bijan just said makes me think of All Inclusive Boston, the new campaign that Colette Phillips, in partnership with some other organizations, is running to make people aware of a different Boston, a more inclusive, more diverse Boston. So in, you know, just a couple sentences, is that a step in the right direction?
Yes, it is, because the Boston I grew up in was already inclusive and diverse. And I haven't seen that in very many depictions of Boston in film, television, stage, what have you. And it's always been me trying to tell people, be it on social media or through something I wrote, that this is my Boston. This is the Boston I live in. This is the Boston I lived in. This is the Boston I grew up in. And you are getting a false idea of where I'm from.
All right. That's Dart Adams, journalist, researcher, and host of the podcasts Dart Against Humanity and Boston Legends. He has an article in Boston Magazine that you can find on our website, radioboston.org. Dart, thanks for joining the conversation today.
Thanks for having me.
And that's our show for today. Radio Boston is produced by Jamie Bologna, Chris Siderick, Walter Wuthman, Amanda Beland, and Cynthia Betubiza. Marquise Neal is our technical director, and we had engineering help today from Patrick O'Connor. Our executive producer is Hitesh Hathi. I'm Tiziana Deering. Thanks for listening, and join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.